Vision Sunday. Vision Sunday is really about us reminding ourselves, as I said this morning, once a year, that God has given us something to do as a church. Each church has a purpose. It has a mission, a reason for existence. There's general purposes. You know, love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's obviously for all Christians and all churches, you know. The Great Commission, you know, Jesus says in Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples. And then in Acts 1:8, it says, go and make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, and I will empower you. And these instructions are for all churches everywhere. But God has a master plan. He doesn't expect each individual to reach the whole world. That would be rather overwhelming, wouldn't it? Or even all churches to reach the whole world. But God does expect each church to reach some part of his world. And in one sense, each church God designs specifically to reach certain people. You know, if you like quiet services with psalms being sung and sweet incense being waved across the rows, please go next door. That's what they do. And it's a good church. They will tend to your needs and all the rest of it. You'll find Christ over there. And but it's different from here. They're called to reach a certain subset of our community, and we're called to reach it different. And that's normal, that's good, right? I occasionally meet ministers in church, say, we reach everybody. And I go, no, you don't. Don't be silly. Nobody can reach everybody. And so the question is, what do we, as Valley Church, what's God called us to do? And I read out this morning Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. And I want to encourage you. In fact, no, shall I read it out again? I like reading it. I read it so often, and it always thrills my heart. You know, God really spoke to Michelle and I through this passage many, many years ago. So Psalm 78, I'm going to read the first 78 verses, because I've just changed my mind. It means there'll be no verses behind you, because they haven't got them. It says, it's my people, hear my teaching. Listen to my words from my mouth. I will open my mouth with parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. And we will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. They in turn will tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God, would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. We are a church, we want to be a generational church, where we're continually looking down the ages going, we want to help them find Jesus. We want to help them find Jesus. We want to help them find Jesus. And all ages, we've always been called to do this, to make disciples of the generations coming up in between. Particularly, Michelle and I felt before we started that God called us to reach 18 to 30s. But we want to reach everybody. We want to love everybody. Everybody's welcome. But we just have a slight bent. I think it's because I was a youth pastor for almost 20 years. And I just love the younger people about. And as I've got older, the younger people have got a bit older as well. All right? So, and that happens, you younger guys. You know, when you're young, you think somebody 50 is really, really old. Trust me, they look a lot younger when you get to 50. They just do. Isn't that true, everybody? Yeah. All the four or fivers in the room. And it's true, right? But this is what God's called, to create a home. And I think we've been doing that great. I want to encourage you to keep doing it. Let's be welcome. Let's have our hearts always open to one new friend, to one new person. You know, when we meet in the coffee shop, let's make sure when we sit down, there's always a stool or a chair free. And then somebody comes in, there's somewhere for them to sit. Those kind of simple things. But let's just have a really openness to welcome people into our home here. Wherever they come from, whatever their background, however old they are, that they'll find a home here. And they want to empower people. We want to help people realize that God made them amazing. That's a truth that so many people need to hear these days. They wonder why they're here. They think useless and worthless. And God says, no, you're of great value to me. I've created you with great purpose in your life. If you will come and follow me, you'll discover that I died for you, because that's how valuable I think you are. And we want to help people understand this. They do it by coming to Christ, by repenting, and then having this relationship restored with God. Then again, healing and restoration. All of us need some healing and restoration in our lives. And then hopefully all of us come together and we encourage each other. We teach each other, we train each other, we support each other, we're exciting for each other in all different areas of life, church life, home life, business life, whatever it is. And then we help people really be released into all that God has made them to be. This is kind of our call. This last 12 months, we've been thinking about let the Spirit fall. We're saying, God, give me more passion for you, more passion for living right for you, more passion for your work, more passion for the cause of Christ, a passion that's so strong, even in the darkest days, we can still find your peace and a joy to praise you, even in the darkest days. And this coming 24, this coming 12 months in 2024, we're going to have a look at this idea of the call of the Spirit. I read this morning a passage from Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to read it again. I'm doing this very quickly because we have something else. I only have 10 minutes, so that's good. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the Lake Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore, and then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. It would have been weird, apart from Jesus and Simon had met before, so it wasn't quite as weird as it sounds. I mean, let's face it, if you jump in somebody's boat, it looks like you're nicking it, right? So it could have been a bit weird, but Jesus already knew Simon. Simon knew who Jesus was. Already a beginning of a relationship there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, who presumably was in the boat with him, go out into deeper water and then let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. That's why we've pulled the boats up and we're cleaning our nets. That was a sign that we finished for the day and we're going to go to sleep. But, he says, but because you say so, I will do it. I love his heart. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help. So the other guys came out and helped, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. What a catch. What a payday. What a payday for these guys. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, come, follow me, says another version, and don't be afraid. From now on, you will become fishers for people or fishers of men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. There's this idea that when Jesus calls, we need to follow him. We need to follow him. And in this moment, Simon and his brother and James and John, everything changed. And even though they didn't really know what they were going to go and do, because let's face it, common, you can be fishers of men, is a bit of a nondescript description, isn't it, really? Well, what does that mean? And the answer, they had no answer. They just knew that Jesus called them, come follow me, and they were going to go and follow him. And this year, I'm asking myself, I'm asking you, I'm asking all of you, to just say to God, speak to me, call me, and I will follow you. I'm going to follow the call of the Spirit in my life. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, we read about Philip. Philip was one of the early disciples, not one of the apostles. And we read that God called him to go down towards the River Jordan near Jericho. And as he was going down there, he met Philip, the eunuch, probably from Ethiopia. And this eunuch had his Old Testament open. And as he was passing by and Philip heard him, he was reading. And so Philip walked fastly by the chariot. And then eventually asked him, well, what are you doing? And the guy said, well, I'm reading the Old Testament. I've no idea what it means. And Philip said, well, I can help. And he hopped up and led this eunuch to the Lord and baptized him immediately. It's just an amazing story. And then the Bible says that Philip was somewhere else. The Spirit led him somewhere else. Philip wasn't an apostle. He was an ordinary disciple. But he had an ear to hear what the Spirit said. I want to encourage us all to grow and develop an ear that's listening to what God may say. And God can speak to us through all different ways. And if you listen to my message this morning, I talk about Scripture, still small voice. I talk about other people. I share a story of how my life was actually changed massively by a strange old woman who came with fingers wagging at me to go and do something. But you'll have to listen to this morning's message if you want to hear that. But God speaks in all different ways if you would just stop. You see, the key to hearing God's voice is creating time enough for God to speak to you. And I know most of us live very busy lives. I'll rephrase that. Most of us live very full lives. But it's maybe some of the fullness we can knock out to just create a bit more space for Jesus. I said this morning, I actually got corrected at lunchtime by somebody who will remain nameless. And she said to me, Dad, I've not said who he was, so you can't say it's my fault. And she said, Dad, you kind of implied that the girls need to cut down on social media and the guys need to cut down on gaming. And she said, I don't think that's fair. It's quite sexist. So I just want to say publicly that either cut down on social media or gaming, whether you're a boy or a girl, a man and a woman, just cut down a bit. Have I corrected it now? That's good, right? But this, you know, all of us, if we're really, really honest, can probably find 5, 10, 15 minutes a day to put down something that's maybe not quite as important as just hanging out with God, learning to listen to his voice, processing maybe what other people said to us, what a message meant to us. And it's why I encourage you to take notes. Part of the thing about taking notes, if you think God said something, you can write it down, and then another later time, you can read it and see what God maybe was really meaning by what you wrote down. And I also encourage people to be expectant that God would speak to you. I met far too many Christians that just never think that God will speak to them. That's absolutely rubbish. It's just crazy. Why would you think that God wouldn't speak to you when he's died for you? I mean, crumbs. If he died for you, he did that big thing, he can speak to you as well. He really can. And God's spoken to me over the years again. You can listen to some of that if you listen to this morning's message. But be expectant and then be prepared. And for those of you who are here this morning, you've heard this, but there's some simple things you can do to prepare for God's calling. You can make sure you've got a bit of spare money in your bank account. There's nothing worse if God calls you to do something but you can't afford it, right? Isn't that sad? You know, if God says, I want you to go and see one of your friends, they live, I don't know, 200 miles away, you'll have to jump on a train or spend 40 quid in petrol, whatever it is, and you look at your bank account and you go, I can't afford it. I just can't afford it. If God wants you to fly off to, I don't know, Paris or Sydney, and they're quite close, aren't they? And because say, God, I just can't do it. I don't have money in the bank. So I want to encourage you this year. Save a bit. Have a pot of money that's ready for anything God calls you to do. And not all of you, but I bet my life pretty much that this time next year that some of you will have used that pot to do something. And you'll go these words, I'm so glad I just spent a bit of time, gave up some coffees, cut down on this, whatever it is, and I just saved a bit. And it was enough to get me to where God wanted me to go. And also, all of us, particularly the families in the room, let's make sure we have some good people around us, can support us, encourage us, look after our kids when necessary. You know, you young families, why don't a few of you get together and say, you know, if God calls you to go and do something, we can look after your kids. We can have them overnight or two. Our good friends, Ben and Kat, who were here last weekend, they have a number of friends around them. And when God asks them to go on mission something, they just ring up and ask, and it's a yes. And they go and stay. And they've just been away to Moldova for a few days, a couple of weeks before they came to see us, and say, there's no problem. Why? Because they prepared ahead of time, you know? So we need to be expecting, be prepared, and then get excited, get scared, because God will call some of you to do some things that you are really uncomfortable with. But when you do them, and you come out the other side, because you will be scared. I'm not going to tell you, it'll be fun from start to finish. It won't. When you come out the other side, you'll go, I'm so glad I did that. I met God. I feel built up. Other people have been affected. And you'll go, that was an amazing experience. And you'll log them away in your brain or write them down and go, wow. And next time God calls, you'll go, yes, Father, just tell me where to go. I'd love to go. This year, we're thinking about the call of the Spirit. Well, hopefully that took about 10 minutes. Because what we're also going to do this evening is get some people up on stage and really ask them the question, how has God been calling you over the previous season, and maybe some hints of what God might be calling them to do in the future. And is that okay? Excellent. And we're going to begin by listening to a video for about 5 minutes of a young man who I am slightly biased and very proud of, who's going to tell you something of his story.
Hey, everybody. Excited to be speaking to you tonight on Vision Sunday. And I just want to share some of my testimony and what I feel like the call of the Spirit is on my life. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Johnny, and I've been part of church for, since day one, really. I'm a pastor's kid. And growing up as a pastor's kid in church was a blessing, and it was sometimes hard. But most of the time, I actually loved it. I loved being at church. I remember back in the good old days, about 16 years ago when we first started, and it was a lot of fun. I used to come with dad, and used to come to the office when I was like 8 years old. And I'd literally, my mum would make me bring my quilt with me, and I'd bring my Nintendo DS and play Pokemon on the sofa, and it was a good time. So I've actually always loved being in church, and that's part of who I was. But as I grew up and kind of grew through this period, I started looking into philosophy, and that's what I enjoyed when I was at school. And so when I was studying philosophy, obviously you come up with questions of who is God? Is God real? How can there be evil in the world if God exists? And so questions like this really tested my faith, especially when I was 16, 17 years old. And so for me, that was really the beginning of that testing season for me, of figuring out, is this actually what I believe in, or is it just what my parents believed in? And through it all, I asked questions to people, I read some books, and I came to the conclusion, fortunately, when I was 17, 18, that actually I really did believe in God. And some of these questions, they had a serious impact on me. And to be able to think through them properly with people who understood what they were talking about was so helpful for me. And so that kind of begun my journey properly as a Christian, despite obviously that whole time I was loving being in church, and I would say I was a Christian. I realistically was a Christian, but it was when really I went through that testing period that I realized that this is really definitely for me. And so what following the call of the Spirit looks like now for me is me and Iona, we've just got back from Australia, and we really felt called to that, and we felt like God had it on our hearts to go over to Hillsong College and study over there for some time. And so we spent a year there doing our diploma in ministry, and that was an amazing time. And we really felt like God spoke to us, and we were invested into, and we just grew in ministry and in our passion. And while we were there, actually, we felt called a few times to come back. I remember there was one particular service when we were at Bible College, and it was an international week. And so we were all dressed up in our colors, and we had our England flags on and stuff. And we were praying at the end for our countries and our home nations. And I just felt such a strong call of God to come back to the UK and to really settle, because let's be honest, living in Australia is pretty good, and it would have been easy to stay, humanly speaking, but that's not what God's got for us. And so we came back over this Christmas time for a holiday and to see everyone and meet everyone again. And we've absolutely loved being back with you all. And it's just felt so good and so right to be home. But we're not quite done yet. So we're heading off to South Africa. In fact, we are in South Africa as I speak and as you hear this. And so we really felt like God had something more for us to learn in this season of growth and of ministry training. And so we're spending a few months over here with DJ Karen and the team at Liberty Church. And we're really excited to see what the Holy Spirit has for us and the growth and the opportunities and the things that we can bring back over here. Because ultimately, we really feel like the call of the Spirit on our lives is to be back here in the northwest of England, bringing Jesus, bringing the gospel. And we're excited to see what God's got for each and every one of us in the next few years. And really, that's what we're passionate about. We want to see you succeed. We want to see Jesus do amazing things in you and through you. And we want to see the northwest of England transformed into what will be a community full of faith, a community with Jesus at the center. And we're excited to see all that God has for us in Valley Church, us in the Free Methodist Church, and us in the church in general. And so we are excited to come back. We're excited to be following the call of the Spirit. And we can't wait to see what God's got for us and what God's got for you as well. So we'll see you soon, and hope you have an amazing night.
You can clap if you want. I know it's not here, but I still appreciate it. Well, I'm going to ask Izzy Street and Mark Saville and Jack Pemberton to come and join me on stage. That'd be cool. You can clap them on the way up and grab a mic on the way to. Well, Mark, I think you've got the brightest trainers on. Comfortably. So you don't get lost. At least your feet don't get lost. So these three amazing people have been Christians for a while. Probably Izzy a little less while because she's still quite diddy. And But they're gonna share a little of their calling, of their future, what that might look like, and in what they're doing at the moment. And so, Izzy, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Izzy. You've probably all seen me before somewhere. I've had the privilege of growing up here, so like our family have been founding members since the start, so I've been able to really grow up with the church, which has been really cool. I'm in my final year of college, which has been really fun. I'm doing music, religious studies, and drama, and I'm really enjoying that. I play the oboe. I've been playing the oboe for the past 9 years, so that's been really fun. And yeah, I'm just kind of living life and enjoying being in the presence of God all the time.
No, I just started teaching my daughter driving. How's your driving going?
Yeah, it's been. I'm starting to enjoy it more than I did. So I think I've done about 16 hours with my tutor, and then just kind of getting used to our cars.
And who drives you around? Your dad or your mum?
My mum. There's no chance you'd see my dad and me in a car with me driving, ever.
There you go. You see, mums do it, Shell. It's not just dads.
There you go. Love you, Dad.
So, has your dad made it?
I think he's watching online, hopefully.
Oh, he's not very well, is he? Bless him. He's got man flu, so he's really sick, everybody. Man flu. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, it's bad. It's man flu. Izzy, what does following the call of the Spirit look like for you at this stage of your life?
So in the day-to-day, it tends to be just kind of encouraging people, showing people a bit of the joy, because like we're Christians, we're meant to stand out, we're meant to be that change that we want to see. So like I just want people to know that they can like have joy and encouragement. I've been trying to, these past few years have been very future focused. All I'm hearing from like college and from the people around me is, oh, what are you doing next? Are you going to university? All this like talk of the future, and everyone's like, everyone knows what they want to do. Everyone has a plan. Oh, I want to be a doctor. Who knows at this age? But it's just been like a journey of trying to figure out, like, because for me, like it's obviously different to everyone else because they can just do it. But I'm like, no, what does God want me to do? Because I know that my plan isn't going to be, it might not be exactly what God wants me to do. So I'm constantly trying to bring it back to that. So I've just been kind of making myself available to whatever might happen. So just kind of pushing doors and seeing what opens and seeing what closes. Trying to see what else I've put.
I was going to ask you, so obviously are you 18? You're not 18 yet,
almost.
Are you?
I'm almost an August birthday.
Oh, that's right. So 17 and three quarters. So what are you smiling at? That's about right, isn't it? Cute. Three quarters.
I don't know.
No. I kind of added a month or two on. Because she said she was almost 18, so 17 and a half would have been kind of... Yeah, anyway, I'm wasting time now. So, but we have deliberately chosen you because at your stage of life, in one sense, you have so much to learn, so much wisdom to gain, and all that kind of... But in one sense, you are quite a wise 17 and a half year old. And so what kind of things are helping you to make wise choices?
I think just having such a great spiritual family around you really, really helps. I'm really grateful to have such wise parents that have kind of led me in the right direction and kind of just shown me that I can be like a builder of the kingdom, even at my age. Like my whole life, they've just been like, yeah, go for it. Say yes. Go do this, go do that. And like, I've just enjoyed it. And like you don't realize it when like you're younger, but then as you start to mature, you're like, wow, how incredible has this been? I think it's just been really special to have such an incredible church as well alongside me. I forgot what the question was now.
The question was, how have you kind of the wisdom? How do you decide steps for the future? What kind of things have you done?
I read a lot, whether it's the Bible or just like random books that have been recommended to me. But like I love finding wisdom from anywhere and everywhere possible. whether it's like wise leaders and preachers or like from podcasts, from wherever it is, like seeking that wise counsel can really change, because what your experience can tell you isn't anywhere near to what someone who's already gone through it can show you. So I think it's, yeah, that's really helped me in my decision making, and like speaking to people who have kind of gone ahead and they know the steps to take, it's really helped.
Excellent. And I'm going to cheat a bit because I know you quite well. And so this young lady spends a lot of time reading and praying and seeking God's heart. It's one of the reasons why she's leading worship. It's because she genuinely has a heart after God's own heart, and she is diligently seeking his heart. And then when she leads worship, that's her aim. And the thing is, you younger guys, you can show the old guys up whenever you want. You really can. And we love it when you do it. So you keep at it. Show us how to live a godly life. It's amazing. So thanks, Izzy. Mark, honestly, very few people probably know you very well. But I just want to say that this man is a man of God. He has a prophetic edge to his life. He has a passion for Jesus. He wants a church to grow. And I want to say thank you for the words you brought into our life and honor you and say, look, if you want a wise person, go and grab. Not all of you at once, because you'll overwhelm him. But just an amazing guy. So, but anyway, most people don't know you that much. Why don't you just share a little bit about yourself, maybe a touch of testimony as well?
Yeah, so, I'm Mark. So I'm husband to Jen, father to Joel. I turned 58 in June, which is quite scary. I know I don't look it. So yeah, I quite into sport, like keeping healthy, like hanging out with the family. A bit about my testimony. Well, I actually turned 58 in June, so it'll be 30 years this September that I actually came to the Lord. And I actually came to the Lord through my late father, who died when I was 28 and had an awful battle with cancer. And it was through a miraculous conversion in the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast. And it's the story that he told me of how he came to faith that sowed a seed that later brought me to the Lord a year later.
That sounds a cool story. It's a shame we don't have more time. What do you do for a living?
So I'm a health and safety advisor in construction. So I work for a company called Waits, which are a national construction company. They turn over about 1.2 billion a year, so quite a small company. So I travel about the northwest and a bit of sort of Northumberland and a bit of North Wales. So quite a lot of traveling involved. So basically it's making sure the guys and girls on site are safe and compliant with legislation.
Wow. I'm glad somebody does that. Yeah. And so how does following the call of the Spirit look like to you within your setting?
For me, following the call of the Spirit, so I have learned in my walk in all things to seek the Lord, big or small. So invariably, any decisions I will take to God, and I feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. And I guess when I come to a conclusion, I feel it deep inside. And often it's I can be quite stubborn, or my flesh is quite stubborn, so I'll sort of wrestle with that. And the more I wrestle, the more God will confirm that through other people, through the Bible, through conversations. So I guess that's what the Spirit looks like in my life.
And what's kind of happened in your life as you've been obedient to that call? We've got some examples.
There's so many, but just to share a couple. So shortly after I came to the Lord, I was working in the Northeast for a large company. I'd been there for about 3-4 years, and I felt God tell me to quit my job to sell my house and to move to Canada. Now, obviously, that was definitely of God, because from application to actually being in Canada, it was 6 months. The average was about 3 years to go through that process. And I guess I didn't really think what laid ahead for me. I just thought, yes, this is a new life in Canada. But on the day I landed in Canada, I found out that my brother had been diagnosed with testicular cancer. My sister-in-law had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And they had 2 young 4-year-old daughters who they had adopted from Romania. So I then began to see how God's Spirit and how being obedient to God's Spirit actually plays out in real life. So I thought I was going to start this big adventure. And it was an adventure, but really God had called me over there to help my brother and sister-in-law through a very difficult time.
Wow. So your brother and sister-in-law were there already and you kind of...
Yeah.
That's amazing. So God called you, speeded the process, and you kind of landed almost on the right, not almost on the right day, but definitely the right...
Yeah, I mean, even through the process, my house, from putting my house up for sale to actually having the money in my bank account was 3 weeks.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, that's a really cool story. What's your other story?
My other story is, so when me and Jen got married, we had tried for children, as most married couples do, and it wasn't happening. And this is a bit of a background to the story I'm going to share. So we had tried. So she got tested, I got tested. And basically, the consultant said to me, the likelihood of you being a father is slim to nil. So moving on from that, I was working over in the Middle East. When I met Jen, I had my own property. She had her own property. So Jen phoned me one day to say, I really feel God's Spirit saying we should give our house away to some needy people. I'm like, excuse me? So obviously I prayed. I felt that call as well. So we went through the process. Now, people in the world would say this is a coincidence, but on the day that we went through the legalities, and I actually had to come home and sign the papers, but the day that all the legal stuff went through and the people that received our property was the day I found out that Jen had fallen pregnant.
That's amazing. There you go. Two amazing stories, two testimonies, and I don't need to say anything. I'd love to hear your third story as well, but we haven't got time for that one. Jack.
Hello.
You have the privilege of following Mark.
Yeah. No pressure.
And Jack, we love you very much. You've been here for a while now, since you got married. And most people know you as the guy with the ginger mop who stands behind the keyboard. You are a very gifted musician, though. And a great, he kind of composes behind the scenes, so that's why the music sounds good. Not just down to Jack, but Jack's one of the key movers and shakers for it. So thank you so much for both you and Claire for all you do here. Just for the people here that don't know you very well, why don't you just tell a little bit about yourself?
The backstory, as it were. So for the first 22 years of my life, you talked about smells and bells and next door earlier. That was me. For the first kind of 22 years of my life, I went to the same church as my mum and dad, a Church of England church, which was great. And then I met Claire there, so it was amazing. And when we got married, we wanted to go somewhere where they could really get involved and make a difference and do something. And there weren't the opportunities for that there. So we found our home here. And this is where we've been for the last 10, 11, one of those numbers.
Did you not like come straight after you got married?
We came like the year before. We like attended our church in the morning and then here in the evening. And then when we got married, we were like, right.
So that should be quite easy to work out.
Yeah, it's 10 years in...
Oh, what's no. The
month? August. That wasn't me not knowing. That was me not knowing words rather than, yeah. I'm going to blame dyslexia. I'm going to go full in on the...
So you believe it's Elliot and add dyslexia, and Claire blames the fact that she can't add up.
Yeah.
You're quite a couple, aren't you, really? And what do you do now?
What do I do now? We are creative pastors at Valley Church, which is amazing. Kind of our main job, I suppose, is looking after Melissa, Josh, Ollie and Alex and letting them run worship, production, comms and events. I play a bit of piano, do a bit of worship leading, some drums.
Do you have a job somewhere?
I do have a job, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I have a job. I'm a teacher. I'm a music teacher at Hutton Grammar School in Preston, which is an all-boys school from year 7 to 11, and then mixed sixth form. It is the best job in the world. I absolutely love it, yeah.
Any reason why teaching particularly?
Teaching, I always wanted to be a teacher. I had a teacher in primary school, Mrs. Witts, who did music for us, and I was just, she was the most amazing woman. Like, oh my gosh, she does music. And then one day, she taught us for RE, and I ran home to my mum and was like, mum, the music teacher, she knows all about God as well. And she was just the coolest woman. So I was like, I think I want to be a teacher kind of through primary school. And then Mr. White in high school, who is just the greatest teacher ever. He's a music teacher. And I was like, right, that's what I want to do. I want to do what he does because he's cool.
So you knew you were a music teacher from when you were like 4?
Yeah, like year 4, year 5, I think, yeah.
8 or 9. That's very cute.
Yeah.
Just very cute.
Follow your dreams.
This isn't really. That's amazing. So, in your life outside church,
yep.
How does being obedient to the call of the Spirit look like for you?
So like, is it work really that you really want it to outwork? That's the most obvious place, because I'm either here or at work. There's nowhere else to go, is there? I just want people to know. It's like when people meet you, do they know you're a Christian? And how does that look? Are you excited? Teaching's not the easiest profession to be in at the moment. There are struggles. People are generally low-spirited. So when I arrive, like, oh, yeah, great, I'm excited to be here. I've had a great weekend. We're at church. Just things like that. People notice that you're a Christian. My office has become a bit of like a doctor's surgery drop-in for people to just come and say, let's go see Jack, see what Jack has to say. The RE teacher goes, just go speak to Jack. The worst thing that'll happen is he'll pray for you. I'm like, that's the worst thing that's going to happen. We're going to be all right. And then with the kids, like all the kids know that I'm a Christian. That's not hidden. It's really nice. We've had a new head recently, and she's really pushing the Church of England grammar school thing. So it's become even easier in that setting to be able to talk really openly about my faith, which is cool.
That's amazing. We must pray for you. Yeah, because you'll have openings that nobody else will at all.
So yeah, it is really cool.
That's amazing. Any particular cool stories of things that have happened recently?
Ooh, what cool things. I get to lead worship from time to time when we do our services and stuff. The priests that we work with will be like, oh, let's do a really modern hymn, like 10,000 Reasons. I'm like, oh, can you get someone else to do it? So I will always, like, they'll do communion or something, and I'll just jump up and sing a few songs during communion, and kids will come afterwards going, oh, that was really good, I love that, that was great. I usually text Melissa going, what song should I do? My favourite story, so my form like to try and catch me out, and they'll come with, like, big, deep theological questions and things, just, and when I don't know, I just ask Claire, and then go back the next day. But they're in year 11 now, and they've been coming kind of for the last 4 years, asking me questions, things like that. And then about 4 months ago, one of the boys that came and asked those questions all the time invited me to his baptism, and I got to go and see him get baptized, which was really cool. Yeah,
that's awesome, Jack.
Because I'm not technically allowed to preach, or because that would be a breach of contract or whatever, but I can be there and answer questions and talk about stuff, and yeah, it's cool.
Yes, there is ways even in school to share your faith and be an example. Well, the call of Spirit will look different for all of you. There's a few keys there, all of them. They're listening to what God says. They're making sure their faith is front and center wherever they are and whatever they're doing. And I want to encourage you, as I said before, just to listen to God and have some cool stories. I mean, all cool stories. I mean, Mark's were particularly cool, granted. But it's amazing, if you follow God, how timings work out. Yep. You know, how timings work out. And you must remember them. So I'm sure Mark does, but just tells himself often, this is what God has done in my life. And we're all the same. I know we pick these three, obviously, because we think they're spiritual, but they're just ordinary people, right? They are just ordinary people. There's nothing extraordinary about them. All of you, God wants to whisper things into your heart and into your life and direct you. Some of them are big and scary. I mean, selling your house and moving to Canada, that's pretty big and scary and life-changing, right? But what a story. What a story. And even Jack, you know, he's like, I am a Christian, I'm open. And for his colleagues say the worst thing that can happen is they can pray for you. I just thought that was cool. But what a testimony to the reputation he's built in that school. And we can all do that. Honestly, we can all do that and all search after God's heart. So let's thank these guys. And thank you so much for coming up.